Good morning to you, and welcome to Neocone View, where we take a look, south of the mountain of Neocone, down into Tillamook, or if you happen to be listening in Tillamook, well, you'll point yourself in the right direction no matter what. I'm Peter Newman, and we welcome to our studios this morning the co-founders and hosts of the Manzanita Writers Series at the Hoffman Center in Manzanita, Vera Wildauer and Kathy Hightower. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, everybody.
And the writers' series, you know, I'm thinking to myself, it's easy enough to say I want to have a writers' series, and it's probably a little more difficult to actually get one going. What was the genesis of the project?
Well, and I'm Kathy.
Right. Say who you are so that they know the voices.
So this is Vera Wildauer.
Yeah.
When I moved down here, I just had in my head that I wanted to start a writer series. I had been saying that for years when we were talking about moving here. I happened to meet Vera, and she joined a book club that I'm part of here, and met a few other writers and thought, you know what, I bet we could at least talk it over. Vera and I did a long walk on the beach talking about it, and she was like, sure, we can do this. Let's make it happen. We gathered a number of other volunteers together, all writers, and brainstormed things, you know, that we might want to do. And then before we really get going, probably the thing that was the most helpful is that we got in contact with the Nye Beach Writer Series and were able to learn all the ins and outs of doing a writer series without having to make all the mistakes ourselves up front. They've had a very successful series for quite a few years now, and that were extremely helpful in giving us the ins and outs. So we started with a very good plan.
You're both writers. Is it important as a writer to face an audience and to talk about your work in public? One thinks of writing as a very solitary craft in some ways.
It is solitary, but I think you'll find that a lot of writers certainly are in writers' groups and share their work, get feedback and that sort of thing. But it really is a lot different when you're in front of an audience. A big chunk of our writer series is the open mic. Second half of the show is always open mic, and local writers come and get 5 minutes to read from their original work. And there's nothing quite like hearing people laugh at the right spot in your piece and having people tell you afterwards, wow, I really related to the protagonist or whatever. So it's a very cool experience.
Do both of you as writers in your formative years have that experience of having people react to your words? What was the first time that happened?
And how old
gotcha.
Were you? Well, quite frankly, my writing up to this point has mostly been columns and newspapers and how-to nonfiction type of writing that I wasn't reading out loud. However, I do seminars and workshops, and so I do share things in that format. So I've had feedback more from that. I'm trying to think the first time I actually read aloud. I was part of a writing class in Corvallis, Oregon, where we part of the, it was a grant, and part of the deal was if you participated for the 9 weeks or whatever it was, you had to read aloud in front of a group at the library, and we had about, I don't know, 100 people there that were probably all family members and friends of those in the class, but it was an interesting experience to be reading more creative writing aloud and seeing the response.
And Vera, you're published fiction, so you do...
Yeah, and I would say probably since I was a kid. I wrote poetry since very young. It wasn't that great, but still, I had a lot of opportunities to read that aloud. So, and I had a theater background to a certain extent, so that sort of on-stage thing is satisfying. So,
but I want to say that one of the reasons we want to do the open mic is that a lot of the writers, probably in some ways, almost all of them would actually like to be published in some way. And if you're writing fiction or nonfiction and hope to be published, the reality is that if you do publish, you have to get out and do book readings. And I know I've attended book readings every place I've ever lived just to see, you know, how authors handle that. And some of them are great, and others are so painfully shy or introverted or don't know how to handle it, that even if you actually like the reading, you're not as inspired to read it because of the way they handle the reading itself. So this is a good way to practice in front of a very, very supportive, fun audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, which gets me to the selection of your writers for the writer series that you bring in. How do you go about choosing from? I take it it concentrates on Northwest authors.
Right. Our goal is to have a variety of genres represented and make sure that we have a wide variety to appeal to a lot of different people. I mean, we do have a sort of set of regulars that come to the writer series, but often we'll find that a mystery writer will draw an entirely different kind of crowd than someone that writes literary fiction or poetry, for that matter. So we really try and get different people all throughout the year, so that we aren't doing the same thing over and over again.
And I take it, well, Manzanita isn't exactly on the circuit of of
it's
author travels.
To be.
Well,
it's
with the number of bookstores in the north part of the northwest corner of Oregon, actually, pretty good number of bookstores,
yeah.
Actually.
Mm-hmm.
But is it difficult to draw somebody over? Are they on tour when they come through here?
I was going to say, usually we would be getting authors normally after their main book tour is over, because we aren't such a large, market as far as the numbers go here. The advantage we have is that we're in Manzanita.
We're in a beautiful place.
It's a beautiful place, and authors all, like the Oregon coast, so it's a matter of finding a time that works for them, and that we do provide them lodging here and book sales at the event. So I think the draw has been more that we point out that we do a lot of marketing. We put flyers throughout quite an area here from Astoria down through Wheeler. We get press in pretty much all of the publications along here, and the numbers have been really strong. We've mm-hmm. been averaging about 60 or so in attendance, and for a book reading, that's really good.
That's excellent. So, I think any community would be very happy to get that that kind of turnout. Actually, let's talk a little bit about the Hoffman Center. Barry, you're obviously conversant in that, and
yes, yes.
On all
as
the various
mm-hmm.
as a board member, mm-hmm. lots of things going on there.
Right.
It probably wasn't too hard a sell to get folks interested in
no.
A writer's series.
Right. The Hoffman Center is always actually quite dependent on volunteers to come up with the programming. We don't have an executive director per se who would come up with all these things. So I wasn't on the board at the time that we proposed this to them, but they were very responsive, just because we had it pretty well thought out, and how we do the marketing, how often it would be. We had a proposal of the kinds of authors we would be bringing in and had a few already signed up, basically. So they were very enthusiastic, and it's been very successful. And in fact, it's kind of a model for other sort of performance or entertainment kinds of programs. For example, we're kicking off the film series with a video and shorts festival from Portland's Northwest Film Studies Center. And so anyway, we're kind of a model for the other kinds of programs.
We are talking with the co-founders and hosts of the Manzanita Writers Series, Vera Wildauer and Kathy Hightower, and the series is third Saturday of the month from 7 till 9 at the Hoffman Center. Broadly speaking, and since you mentioned film and other media, obviously there's an awful lot of interest and talk these days about what the future of the printed word is and books in general. Any thoughts on that and how it might inform what the Hoffman Center and the series does in the future?
Well, we've already seen that as new genres come in, for example, right now one of the fastest growing genres is the graphic novel. Which
and you've
is,
got something coming up, I think,
yeah.
on that. Is that
actually
correct?
not yet this year.
Okay.
We had one last year, and we plan to do more of that because it's growing fast. It's sort of like it's a book, but in with drawings that go along with everything. But as far as the way the publishing industry is going as a whole, with, you know, are we going to all go to Kindles and handhelds? You know, where's the printed book going to be, and how, what does that mean to authors and their royalties? It's any publisher you talk to says we have no idea where things are going to go.
Yeah, I have a feeling if somebody says they do know, they're sadly mistaken.
Yeah, you know, everyone we've talked to, and I follow publishers weekly, the discussion is all is we don't know. And so I think probably for us, for the Hoffman Center, I don't know how that will play out, but all we do know is when people come to the beach, they like to read, and people like to hear authors read from their work and ask them questions. We have a lot of writers in along the Oregon coast, I think, and so there's a lot of interest of, you know, how you get started, how you get your ideas, what kind of writing schedule do you have, how do you get published, that kind of stuff. So I think there's always that interest too as well. That
how do you handle a graphic novelist who comes to speak? Is it video projection along with the
quite
the
a number
talk?
Of our authors have actually provided visuals as well as the just reading from their book or answering questions. Steve Dean from The Oregonian came and sort of did an overview of the graphic novel and how it's evolved since the 30s when kind of, I guess, the beginning of it to what's happening now. And he used a PowerPoint kind of presentation. And several others of our authors, if they have things that are visually interesting, will provide that as well. So it's a multimedia experience.
You, the two of you were talking earlier about having kind of formed the idea in a book club, and book clubs are very popular. Is this a sort of a, in effect, a public book club with an assigned author coming in? I'm just trying to think about how this fits into our wider view of how we interact with each other when we talk about, you know, let's all read the same book this
right.
month.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's, I guess it's a little similar to where a lot of communities are doing a community reads, where they are doing one book and having a community discussion on it. Our hope is that people are, inspired to read the book either ahead of time or are inspired from the reading to read it after time. In the case of our January event that just happened, we had at least one book club in town choose that book, Jenny Shortridge's book, When She Flew, choose that book as their read and then attend the event to be able to ask the author questions. And we actually hope that we'll inspire more book clubs to use the monthly author, that selection, as a choice for the book club, and also to encourage book clubs to come out to the coast for a weekend retreat and use the author series
as
a nice excuse to do so and have a gathering and have a whole weekend to be together here in a wonderful place. So.
Is there a Northwest style, do you think? I mean, as you look over the authors who come here, or for that matter, the ones that live here, the writers that work, is there something of a sensibility about living in this part of the country that you sense some threads and connections between their work?
You could say maybe there's more interest in environment, but on the other hand, we've got, you know, legal thrillers, mystery writers, science fiction, so I think it's just as diverse as anywhere else.
I do think that this this area inspires a lot of people to write, and it just seems to do that because, one, you have nature available to you to be outside in it for inspiration and thinking time. But you also have this lovely weather that forces you inside for a lot of the year that is encouraging you to write, I think. I don't know.
Well, what's coming up, say, next month and beyond in the writer's series that people can plug themselves into?
Well, in February, we've got a tour coming from the Oregon Book Awards, both winners and nominees. So we have three authors actually coming along with the person from Literary Arts. They're the ones that put on the Oregon Book Award. And so that should be really interesting, a diverse bunch of new writers. In March, we have Stephanie Kalos. She's an author from Seattle, and she wrote Sing Them Home. She's more known, I suppose, for Broken For You. That was quite a popular novel that came out. So that's the next couple of months.
We also, I should mention, besides the readings on the monthly basis, this past year we had a few book workshops, book publishing workshops, a poem crazy workshop with Susan Wooldridge, and our plan for the year is to add in some workshops interspersed throughout the year. So we'll be announcing those as we get those firmed up. We plan to at least have one on book marketing. We have a poetry workshop. And in June, we'll be doing a, you can say the word.
Writing on plein air.
There we go.
Right around the Lower Nihilum. We'll have an author come, and actually writers, local writers, will be able to go out there and hike around, get wonderful views of the estuary, and be able to write what they feel at the time and workshop it with the group then. And that's in collaboration with the Lower Nihilum Community Trust to help bring visibility and awareness to that project to preserve the estuary right around the Lower Nihilum.
I think it's always really, really helpful if you're trying to get inside maybe whether it be a work of fiction or nonfiction, to see the author in a different context and just going through life and living life and having informal conversations. You get a whole different kind of slant on the way the person thinks.
Mm-hmm. You know, and at the author readings, I would say a good number of the questions are about their lives, not as much, you know, certainly some on the book themselves, but so much of it is about them as people and what their lives are like. And I do think it sort of it makes you approach the book slightly differently than if you are just reading it with a name and don't know anything about them.
Well, I was going to ask you some of the typical questions that might be asked of authors as they come. Starting with, I suppose, and maybe the two of you can relate to this, just the actual discipline of doing it, of having to get up every day and think about actually committing something to the page. Is that difficult? I mean, for those of us that procrastinate and will put off work at any excuse, what is that life force that's pushing you forward to getting right. It done every day?
And that, again, is very interesting because most of the authors, or many of the authors, have very different approaches. There are some that are very, very structured. They get up, they treat it like a job. They go to their desk, they shut the door, and they're working and have a commitment to write 1,000 words that day or something like that. And others are much looser about it and go away somewhere else entirely. For example, one of the authors, Diana Abu Jaber, she writes about Seattle and the Northwest or Portland when she's in Miami because she can get the distance. She teaches there, and so she lives in Miami for half the year or something, and that allows her to get enough distance from the environment and be able to put it in perspective so that she can write there.
Well, how about the two of you? Kathy, just because you concentrate in nonfiction, you don't get off the hook as far as having to get up in the morning and thinking about what you need to write today.
Actually, I'm trying my hand at fiction now, so I guess I'm going to be dual-hatted here. I find that it's difficult for me to spend enough time at it. So what I do is get myself deadlines by getting article commitments or column commitments. And I am part of a number of writing groups to have some workshopping help, but also the encouragement of a deadline. And I take a weekly writing class here where we have an assignment each week. And that's a piece that I have to produce. And so I'm using that to help build my novel. So to me, I need those outside structures.
And Vera, what's the cattle prod that gets you to write?
Well, all of those kinds of things do. Writing groups are wonderful for having someone that's interested, and also can in a way validate your effort, because lots of times, especially if you're writing fiction or poetry, which you know, good luck getting that published, but is to have someone that says, yes, it's worth doing, and go ahead and keep working at it. It's worth submitting. It's worth getting that published. And that's really helpful to have colleagues that are willing to be encouraging. And something like the writer series with the open mic, I mean, I found that to be incredibly useful for polishing work and, you know, okay, now it's ready to send out there.
Well, I would think the writer's series itself would provide that kind of motivation, not only just personally for the two of you, but also other authors and writers in the area that, well, there's this event that's taking place every month, and if I'm going to be a responsible writer, citizen of my community, I better show up for this thing and I better have something to show for it.
I think that's actually happened where we have some writers who have said that they're using it as a monthly deadline to create a piece for the open mic. And we've had others come up and say that after they didn't think they were going to ever read out loud, but after they observed two or three of them, they thought, I want to do that too. And then they created a piece. And they do have to practice it to 5 minutes because we do time it and we do, you know, have to stop people after five so everybody gets a chance. And that, I think, makes you polish it even more when you read it aloud and you really are planning for time. So.
And we do have a couple of writers that they're working on novels, and we, you know, each month we're getting a chapter. It's kind of like a series or a serial in a magazine to hear the next chapter of a particular person's novel.
Are the contributions just all over the map, the people who read? What are some examples?
Well, what's interesting is it is such a mix because you do have pieces of novels. We have people that do personal essays. We have people that do humor. We have some writing poetry, others that are writing memoir, and I think Kathleen Moore, a local, I think she lives in Nehalem, said it best. She goes, what I love about it is you never know what's coming out when they open their mouths. I mean, it could be anything, you know, it could be humor, it could be, you don't have a list ahead of time, you're not, you know, thinking, oh, this week we're having more poetry, because they sign up at the door, and the first nine who sign up read.
And on your website, it gives us some instructions on how to prepare for that, which we'll talk about the website and how people can get that information on dates and such. But what are some of the things that people should think about as they're getting ready for their 5 minutes?
Well, to practice, to actually time it. You know, typically it ends up being about 3 pages or just under 1,000 words. That's a good rule of thumb. But you don't want to rush through your piece either, because that's, I think, one of the first mistakes that a new reader makes, is that they're, you know, hoping, oh, I don't want to, you know, get the bell rung in the middle of my story. So they rush it, which makes it difficult for listeners because they, you know, take your time, breathe. and it makes it much more enjoyable for the audience. And I would say that's the main thing.
I would also think is if you've got 5 minutes, obviously, for unless it's a very, very short story that they're reading, it's part of a larger body of work, and there must be a tendency to want to explain the context of it. And I think you could probably go overboard and explain way too much and lose the sense of the writing that is actually being read at that particular moment. You don't have to explain the entire
right
plot of the novel to
no.
To read for 5 minutes.
No. And actually, that's worked out pretty well. We, you know, maybe at the beginning, people were spending a lot of time introducing themselves, introducing the work. And I think we've gotten it down so that people dive right in. They maybe say a sentence or two if it's necessary for the piece, but people dive right in, I think.
And I do think that anyone reading from a novel that's in the works, that's a tougher thing to find a five-minute piece that, you know, flows well for 5 minutes and gives a sense of context and everything. I think that we have quite a few people that have done that, but I think it's actually easier if you're writing a piece thinking, I'm going to create something new for this open mic, or I'm going to write a personal essay, and I'll just take a portion of the longer piece into 5 minutes. But it does take practicing it out loud. That's the crucial thing, because the pacing, the timing, and all that, if you try to practice it by reading it in your head, it's not the same thing.
I like the form of personal essay, too. I think that's a terrific way to express yourself, and that has its own discipline, too. And have either of you done any work in that area where you try to distill a thought down to a relatively few number of pages?
Right. you know, the neat part of it is not just as a writer, but as a person that comes to the series, is you really get to know your neighbors and really hear about important things that have happened to them in their lives, how they feel about something.
Memories from childhood or from living here. It is a lot of the people that get up to read, you don't even realize are writers until they've done the open mic, and then it's like, wow, I didn't know you were writing. And so that's been a lot of fun.
I imagine real communities develop internally within the series where people who see each other maybe at that, and then the next month they're there again, and we've got something in common.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do have a lot of regulars. And we certainly draw weekenders and people here on vacation. And I think that the draw for those individuals is more likely the featured author. I think the regulars, the community members, they enjoy the featured author, but a lot of the reason they're there is for the open mic, to see their neighbors and community members reading and learn more from that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is, both made you both better writers, or perhaps maybe even better readers?
Oh, both. I've gotten a lot of help on editing pieces and learned a lot by listening to others. As to what really works and what comes alive, and I think that I've learned a lot from that, and I've learned about reading and what works by watching people and saying, that worked really well, and that didn't work so well, so this is what I want to try to do.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm trying to do is learn to be a better reader, because I think sometimes, and maybe that's one of the nice things about living here, is if you can take the time to read carefully and maybe more slowly than we used to do in a past life, that
right,
where you have to skim, or you feel you have to just rush through something to savor the moment and savor the word on the page.
Absolutely. And that's really fun to listen to the authors, because a lot of these, they're from Portland or Seattle, and they have been touring all over the place. I mean, they go on national, even international tours to read their works. And so they've very much honed their presentation. So you really get that extra richness, because they've practiced it so often, so they're not stumbling over any words. And also the meaning that they intended comes out a lot more in their expression. And so that's been wonderful, and to be able to then to read the whole book that way, I mean, personally.
Well, it's a terrific series. Next chance up for this is Saturday, and it's the third Saturday of every month, so the 20th of February, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. The event is at the Hoffman Center, the annex on Lanita, and modest entry donation for that, $5, I believe?
Yes.
Oh, what a bargain. You could get six. Our guests this morning on Neocon View, Vera Wildauer and Kathy Hightower. And for people who want to find out more about the series, I guess we could give them a website, or they just Google Manzanita Writers Series.
Actually, the website's really easy. It's thehoffmanblog.org, and then you'll see other programs, the film series, for example, and other programs that we do through the Hoffman Center, as well as the writer series.
We'll have you back and talk about all the other things at the Hoffman Center, because it's
cool.
A great place.
It is. Thank you.
Thank you, Vera and Kathy, for joining us this morning on the Neocon View. And I'm Peter Newman. Well, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you again next month.